remember how Jesus in the Gospels, he would often speak of himself as the Son of Man. Remember that? I was shocked to discover that there are over 60 times that Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. All right? I'm going to find out what's going on here, because I feel what the Lord was starting to show me was that this is all tied into what we've been walking out, right? Which is this idea that we're supposed to follow Jesus by becoming like him, right? That's what following Jesus is all about, is that we are becoming like him, right? So Jesus uses this term to describe himself, right, as the Son of Man, right? He doesn't say, I'm the Son of God. He says, I'm the Son of Man. And that's very significant. The first time you see this phrase in the Bible is actually in Numbers 23:19, where it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Okay? And so, when you look at the Hebrew there, son of man, you know what it's actually referring to?
Son of Adam?
Yeah. The word man there is the same word that we have for the name Adam. Adam is the progenitor of the human race. He's the one that God used to start this human race. So I'm going to get all racial on you today. But Bible racial. Not what we've been dealing with, unfortunately, in the news. So he uses this phrase, son of man, and, there's plenty of references. I'm not even going to, share them. You can see them in the Gospels. But what is this connection, though, with Adam? Right? Jesus uses the phrase son of man about himself. And there's a connection to Adam in this phrase, in this idea that Jesus is the son of man. Well, Romans 5:14 says this. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Adam was a type. Now, what's a type? Well, a type in the Bible is a prophetic symbol of something else. So, Paul's saying here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Adam was a prototype. Okay, that's where we get the word type from. It was a prototype of somebody else who is to come. And so we understand that the person who is to come is Jesus. That Adam was actually a prototype of Jesus. That's kind of interesting, right? And then in 1 Corinthians 15:45, he writes, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So right there, right, he takes away the mystery. Jesus is called the last Adam. Now we understand, right, that Adam started the human race. So Jesus, who comes as a type, as a fulfillment, right, of Adam's potential, what's Jesus doing? Starting a new race. Okay? That's why he calls himself the Son of Man, the Son of Adam, because he's come to start something new that never got fulfilled through Adam. Right? Because Adam and Eve sinned. So they couldn't do that, right? Romans 8:29, check this one out. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Why? So that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brethren. How about that? So that Jesus would become the progenitor of a new family. Isn't it interesting that it doesn't say here that he would become the firstborn among many servants? Or even among many friends? Among many brethren? Instantly, we start to see some things here, right? About what God was really after. So, when Paul talks about, this new race that we are, right? In 2 Corinthians 5:16-17, he says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." Right? He says, you know, we knew Jesus as a man. We knew what he was like as a man, but we don't know him that way any longer. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. A new creation." Right? Old things have passed away, new things have come. Right? So we see something just so powerful when you really start to dig into this and meditate on this and understand the implications of it. We were all born into the human race. Right? Last time I checked, flesh and blood, cut me and I bleed. Right? We're born into the human race. But the truth for us now is that we've been reborn into a new race of supernatural beings. Okay? Why? Because we've been united with Christ. We've been made one with him. And so what's true of him is now true of us. This is mind-blowing. John writes, "As he is, so also are we in this world." The very characteristics of Jesus are now our characteristics. Okay? Let's think about this for a minute. When you think about human characteristics, that characteristics that identify the human race, what comes to mind?
Looking out for number one.
Okay. What else? Characteristics that identify us as human beings. Don't all shout me down now.
We make mistakes.
Don't over spiritualize this now, people.
We have a desire to belong.
We have what?
A desire to belong.
A desire to belong? Yeah. Right. Sure. What else? We need food, we need air, right? We need water, okay? Right? Sleep, curiosity, exactly, right? We're bipedal. Ooh, what does that mean? We have two legs, right? It's true. There are certain characteristics about us that we just simply take for granted because we're humans, you know? When's the last time you thought about the fact that you have two ears? It's just, they're there, right? Two ears, one nose, two eyes, and one mouth. You know? These are characteristics of the human race. Okay? What are the characteristics of this new race of supernatural beings? You ever thought about that? What do you think?
Ooh.
You all hear that? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Uh-huh. Yeah. Those are characteristics of us as redeemed, reborn, new creatures. See, the Lord, you know, what he's done basically, right? Is through Jesus, he shows us what he had in mind all along. This is what he did, you know, this is what his desire was from the very beginning for Adam and Eve. Okay? To be like Jesus. But he knew from the beginning that it wasn't going to happen. That's why the Bible says that he's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Okay? But in the heart of the Father, he always wanted a race of supernatural beings who love him freely, make a free will choice, right, to love him and do the kind of things that he did, right? What did Jesus say? The works that I do, you will do, and greater works than these we do because I go to the Father, right? Yeah, it's good stuff. So, One last thing let me just share with you really quick. Over the past few months, the Lord has kind of brought me back to a verse in Ephesians to tweak me a little bit with it, okay? And it's Ephesians 3 where Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." What an interesting verse. He says that the Father, Father God, has created families in the earth. And we're not talking about natural families, because this is not the focus of the passage. The passage is talking about spiritual things here, right? And so there are families that God has established in the earth, and every single one of them has a name. And so I'm like, wow. It's interesting. Because if you've been with us for a while, you know that this idea of family has been so, so strong. God's really been pressing us about learning what it really means for us to live as family. To be family for real, not just to be saying, "Oh yes, I'm so glad to be part of the family of God," you know, but to really live it out as if it's real, because it is real, right? So I'm saying, okay, God, you put families on the earth, and you say that every family that you put here on the earth has a name. Well, what's our name? What's the name of my family, my spiritual family that you've brought together? I want to know what is that name? And here's the thing, when the Lord, and I don't have the name yet, I'm just going to be real with you, I don't have the name, but you know what I have? I have some description of who we are. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Because I started to study this idea of tribe, you know, that we're a tribe, we're a family. And what does that mean? Well, I'm going to give you some thoughts that you can think about. Here we are, that prophetically, right? Prophetically. We're not talking about literal flesh and blood now. We're talking prophetically. A tribe is a group of people called together by God in order to reveal certain aspects of His nature and accomplish specific purposes for His kingdom. How about that? You know, that we get to basically show certain things about God. He's called us to demonstrate certain things about His nature. Okay? And so here's some of them, right? That our tribe is characterized by the power and the anointing of Holy Spirit. That's one of the characteristics of our family, right? That we're characterized by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, where His rivers of living water are released to create massive transformation in people's lives and in the world around us. Right? We've got access to these rivers, guys. Have you ever seen what a river will do when it's in flood stage? I mean, nothing gets in its way. Right? It changes the geography of whatever area it goes through because it's so powerful. And so that's one of the things that we're called to. It says, here's another one. Our gatherings are marked by tremendous freedom that may appear chaotic to some, but is truly under the leadership of Jesus. Right? I mean, there's some stuff that happens here that, you know, people walking in going, "These people are crazy." And you know what? You're right. Right? How about this? We're a safe place where people can receive what they need from Papa, and where they can learn and experience that there is never any lack in His house. We are those who give birth to dreams and empower dreamers to fulfill them. Yeah, that's good.
Can you repeat that?
Sure. It says, we are a safe place where people can receive what they need from Papa, and where they can learn and experience that there is never any lack in His house. We are those who give birth to dreams and empower dreamers to fulfill them. And then finally, we highly value revelation, interpretation, and application. We're committed to showing the world an accurate picture of the true nature of our Papa. and our true nature as His sons and daughters. We want the world to see that, right? The world deserves to see what mature sons and daughters of God actually look like. You know, and so we've got a high value for that, where we're learning that nothing is impossible for us who are passionate about becoming His mature sons and daughters. So those are just some thoughts that, you know, as I was pondering this whole thought of the fact that we're a new race, that we're a new, you know, breed of people on the earth, and yet we're also called together by God for some very specific things. He began to just download some of this to me. I'm going to print this up and make it available for anybody that wants it, you know, for next week and stuff. So that we can, because you know what? One of the biggest needs that we have as humans is identity. You know? And identity is an individual thing, but it's also a corporate thing. Where we get to understand, well, you know, why, God? Why are we all together here? Why are you drawing people from all over the state to come to Cranford?
Yeah.
Right? Lauren's brand new, and you're from where again? Hackettstown, right?
Hackettstown, where they make M&M's. Yeah.
Well, they make M&M's. Well, next time you come, y'all better bring some. Okay? So God's doing some stuff.
At least.
So, any questions? Any thoughts on that? Was that clear? Oh, yes.
I had a thought on that.
Okay. I think you should come share your thought. You guys ready to worship?
Yes.
Come on.
This is not a very long thought, but I was sitting in my chair at home, and the Lord said to me, because we were going to minister on Friday night here, you know, prophesying over people, He said that there's such a lack of identification, people being identified and having identity, and that brother, A.R. Bernard, said that, you know, I don't know which came first. He said that it triggered, or I triggered it, and it said, or whatever. But this is what I was. But this is what I felt the Lord said. As prophetic people, as we share, we're really releasing the Father, like an identity that has been crushed in this region, and it's been crushed by the traditions of man and religion.
Yes.
Really, we wanted to be by Father, but we didn't have a chance to be. You know.
Yes.
And so that's what I just always kind of want to share with people that are walking in the prophetic. So many people have come up to us, even Friday night, I don't know if you guys experienced this, but it was that they didn't know who they were in Christ, and they agreed with a lie, you see.
Sure.
And that when they asked for healing, I said sometimes to whatever the person was, I said, like, really, where is the pain? It's in their heart. They agreed that they were fearful about something, and it became part of their pain.